Morning, Jimmy. How are you?
Big fella, how are you?
Yeah, the big fella.
Yeah. The big fella.
I was having a little bit of a laugh then when talking about cricket and the big fella. I remember my junior cricket days. You walk out to the Hardwick wicket and you look at the biggest kid and go, he must bowl so fast. And then you bowl doinky little off spinner.
So true.
Over the fence first ball.
So true.
who were the Geelong boys, the big fellas in the Geelong team when you were playing,
well,
Jimmy?
Well, we had a guy called the Big Hairy Cat, which was Cam Mooney. He's a little bit stubby, short of a slab. When he walked over the white line, he'd go absolutely mad.
Yeah.
I heard you talking about Max Rook. Probably the quietest, meanest player on the field you'll get. You could barely get boo out of him off the field. But just I think he physically would just, you know, enjoy hurting someone. You could hear a little when he was doing it. And Brad Otten, he was big, he was 6'7", but he had the biggest head. We weighed his head one day. We got him to lay down in the gym.
There's no head on the planet bigger than Stuart McGill.
Mate,
biggest head. It was a handcrafted helmet because he didn't fit extra, extra large.
I didn't know you could have three sets of wisdom teeth, but he had a
weighed his head, Brad Otten's.
What did it come in at?
No, it was monstrous because all the boys are standing in the gym and go, geez, you've got an enormous head. And he goes, no, I don't. So we got to have the measuring tape and then we go, well, let's weigh you down. So we just had the end of like his body on the scales.
How good's footy team?
Is that for your training in preparation for a grand final?
But imagine if you did that now, you'd probably get in trouble.
You would. You'd be in front of HR and all that sort of stuff. Just a bit of banter.
That's it. Now, 25,000 capped crowds. Wild times there in Victoria.
Yeah, it's crazy. It depends. It's like 25,000, you can get away. Marvel, you can create an amazing atmosphere. We saw last Friday night even 7,000 down at Geelong. It sounded so loud. But 25,000 at the MCG, it's like the slow golf clap that you just hear like this guy, and then you can actually hear the abuse coming over the fence. But it's a start. It's a positive step forward. So that's all we can hope for. And like any other industry, we just sit back and wait for the daily pressers to get tell us what to do.
I see the Giants and the Swans. They've had to make that dash down to Melbourne to get out of Sydney. We're unsure of what's happening up here at this stage. And the Giants are playing Hawthorn. In Melbourne at the MCG, does that affect them at all?
I think more of the bigger issue is they've just got to get over their little bit of a hoodoo with the Hawks more than anything. The Hawks have had the Giants measured no matter where they've been on the ladder. The Hawks have just played a brand of footy that the Giants haven't been able to unpick or play really well. So that's probably more their focus than where they're playing it at the moment. I think over the last 18 months, sides now, I think when they go to the ground, they pack a spare suitcase because they literally get told, let's go, you're on the plane, you've got to go do quarantine in this city for us to be able to play in this city. So, you know, you're trying to work. If we're playing in Perth, they're closed for Victoria, so means we've got to fly to Adelaide or Sydney, you know, that sort of stuff going on. So I think players have adjusted to it over time now.
Jimmy, what did you make of the criticism Toby Green copped the other day?
I think it's water off the duck's back, and you hear his comments after it. Now he just goes, I'll probably just pay my fine and I probably won't stop doing it. People will always get frustrated and they'll elevate it because it's Toby Green and his record. He's done some incidents which have completely got under the skin of opposition supporters and fans and things like that. But he got what the rules said they were. So people go, oh, he should get weeks, but you can't. Under the system, if you punch someone in the guts and it's not too hard, you're only going to get a fine. I think players know that as well.
Now, your old teammate, Joel Selwood, who will probably go down as one of the great cats of all time. By the way, amazing game there with Gary Rowan kicking the goal after the siren. But there's been some fallout with Joel Selwood and criticism of him. A gut punch or something. And it's been quite substantially critical, hasn't it, been of your old teammate?
Yeah, look, he stood on someone's leg as he was getting up from the mark. And then he had another incident where I think the best way to describe it was a face massage that he gave someone. Like, he sort of rubbed his hand across the face. Didn't look good, but people, if you're going to criticise him, well, then criticise him with his correct term, which is 200 games captain, three-time premiership player, five-time All-Australian, four-time best and fairest, games record holder at Geelong, most wins in history, So then start criticising him and then question yourself about his legacy.
Exactly. He will be one of the, well, he'd be in the top four or three or four greatest Geelong players ever, possibly.
Yeah, absolutely. Depends what you value in footy, but it doesn't matter. He'll be in the top five of all time. And that's from a club that's been, it's 160 years old. So he certainly left his mark and his game. And we talk about legacy. Legacy is about you leave the club in a better position than when you start. And he's certainly been a part of that start of the Geelong dynasty. And because he was the youngest when it started, and he's seen it all the way through.
What's going on with Carlton, Jimmy? I mean, again, another year starting with plenty of optimism, and all of a sudden it's just faded out to be a terrible season so far.
Well, they've got talent and ability. I think that's where the frustration comes from, Loz, is then they've gone and added in trade and free agency. So you look at the side on paper, and we know that we'd win a lot of games if they played on paper, but they've got all the makings to be a good side, but the penny hasn't dropped yet for them. They don't understand how each of them affect each other on the field. And you see that with Richmond week in, week out. We see Melbourne and Geelong and the really good sides. They all know how the defensive group can help the midfield group and vice versa. And you get that all across the ground. But they're average. And I don't mean that in a mean and nasty way, but if you go through all the key statistical areas, you've got the league average, the number it spits out, and Carlton is smack on average. So, as they say, you get exactly what you deserve in sport, and they get it.
Well, there's some cracking games this weekend, and starts tonight with your mob Geelong. $2.15 outsiders against Brisbane, $1.68 at the Gabba. Yeah, I thought that might pique your interest.
What's the line there?
The line is 5.5, Cats the plus. So pretty tight, but yeah, $2.15 head-to-head. And I guess the criticism of Brisbane is winning these absolute big games, isn't it? Particularly in finals time, of course. But this is one that they'd certainly want to, I guess, get some sort of mental edge heading towards September.
Yeah, and I don't think the Gabba holds too many fears for the Cats, and especially the Tigers, those two really top sides, because they both played in grand finals up there only about 6 or 7 months ago. The thing with the Cats is it's all about speed. If they put speed on the game, they're the most destructive side in the game. They've got an unbelievable forward set up with Rowan, who you mentioned earlier, the match winner, Jeremy Cameron, Tom Hawkins, Patrick Dangerfield in your forward 50. Like, it's as dangerous as you want to get and can put goals on the opposition in 3 to 4 minutes. They did it to Port Adelaide 2 weeks ago. Port Adelaide were up by 15 points. In the space of about 4 minutes, they were down by 19. Now, Geelong can sometimes fall into its own trap of just over-possessing the ball and playing slow. That's where the opposition gets them. But Brisbane, they showed some good form against North Melbourne. I know the bottom side, but it was a tough, gritty win, and Lachie Neale's back into some ripping form, the Brownlow medalist.
What about the Twilight game on Saturday? Port Adelaide at home to the Swans. Swans are $3.30 outsiders. Port Adelaide are $1.32 favourites, but they have Robbie Gray missing.
Yeah, Robbie Gray missing, but I don't think it'll affect them too much for this game. I think the Swans are just going through a lull, a bit of a flat patch. So some of those younger players are just tapering off a bit, and it's getting it's been putting more work on those experienced players. I think nearly each week we keep singing their praises. But I think Port Adelaide at home are a different beast. They're like 3 to 4 goals better, and I think the power might be just a little bit too good for the Swannies.
Yeah, tough game for the Swans. That game's going to move from a night fixture to a twilight fixture as well there in Adelaide on Saturday. GWS and Hawthorn, this game moved to the MCG on Sunday. GWS $1.62, $2.25 the Hawks. And you just wonder the change in venue, how much that could lift Hawthorn, and perhaps they could be a touch of overs here.
Yeah, the Hawthorn have been playing some good footy too the last few weeks. As I mentioned earlier, Hawthorn play the Giants really well. They try and just deny them the footy, and that's the way Hawthorn have been playing this year. Alistair Clarkson has been coaching his sides this year, and to borrow sort of a term or a line from Clarkie's game where 2020, you take the game deep, and that's what Hawthorn do. They sort of shut the game down, and there was 10, 15 minutes to go. He goes, geez, there are only 2 goals down in this. Then they sort of open it up and have a crack at it and see if they can pinch the win on you. And if they play that style, that'll frustrate the Giants. So the Giants have got to be up on it early and not allow Hawthorn just to kick the ball around their back 50, because otherwise you spend the whole entire time just manning the mark.
And the West Coast Eagles are $1.77 against the Bulldogs, $2.05. Tight market this one, big clash over in the West.
Yeah, I think that's just because it is in the West. Otherwise, if it was at the MCG or it was at Marvel, you'd probably flip those odds around, Jared. So the Dogs, they were as brave as they could be. That was as tough and gritty. And I think it surprised a lot of people how the Doggies played down at Geelong. We know they can put speed on the game. They can kick big scores quickly. They're one of the best attacking sides. But that was sort of old-school blue-collar working Bulldogs down there. And I think it impressed a lot of people. But would have taken a lot out of them leading up to this week. And I think that's why, you know, bookies and the odds are leading towards the Eagles.
We'll have all your selections up on our socials, and not to preempt anything, but you got any tips for us for lockdown, Jimmy, just in case?
For lockdown?
Yeah, just in case.
All right, get as fat as Stu McGill's head and then try and walk it off.
Then weigh it.
Then weigh it.
Poor Clark, he's had to cancel three trips to Noosa.
Oh, not a bad thing. Can't he just take that big mega yacht he's got out there and just scoot around the outside?
Well, it'll all be going on it.
Yeah, you'll have to get up here, Jimmy.
I might have bought a slam shut or something like that. Something
you'll be right.
Not your champion. Have a good weekend.
Yeah.